this time I'm going to ask Terry Boyle and Ben Zuba to come forward over here with me. As we come to this time of ordaining and installing Ben Zuba as a ruling elder in this congregation, the office of a ruling elder is based upon the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, who provided for his church officers who should rule in his name. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every church, and Paul commanded that those who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in teaching. In this passage, the scripture is distinguished between elders who labor particularly in the word and in doctrine, usually called ministers or pastors, and elders who join with the minister in the government and discipline of the church, generally called ruling elders. It is the duty and privilege of ruling elders in the name and by the authority of our ascended King to rule over particular churches and as servants of our great shepherd to care for his flock. Holy Scripture enjoins them, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. As a consequence, ruling elders must be zealous in maintaining the purity of the ministration of the word and sacraments. They must conscientiously exercise discipline and uphold the good order and peace of the church. With love and humility, they should promote faithfulness on the part of both elders and deacons in the discharge of their duties. Moreover, they should have particular regard to the doctrine and conduct of the minister of the word in order that the church may be edified and may manifest itself as the pillar and ground of the truth. If they are to fill worthily so sacred an office, ruling elders must adorn sound doctrine by holy living, setting an example of godliness in all their relations with men. Let them walk with exemplary piety and diligently discharge the obligations of their office. And when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, they shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now I'm going to ask Ben, five questions as we ordain and install him as a ruling elder. Some of these questions are similar to our membership questions, but you'll notice there's some that are different that pertain to ordained officers in the church. So the first question, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith and catechisms of this church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures?
I do.
Do you approve of the government, discipline, and worship of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church?
I do.
Do you promise to seek the purity, the peace, and the unity of the church?
I do.
And do you accept the office of ruling elder in this congregation and promise, in reliance on the grace of God, faithfully to perform all the duties thereof?
I do.
All right, and now I'm going to pose a question to the congregation. And when I finish the question, you will answer, if you answer in the affirmative, by raising your right hand. So do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive this brother as a ruling elder? And do you promise to yield to him all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which his office, according to the word of God and the constitution of this church, entitles him? If so, answer in the affirmative by raising your right hand. So at this point in time, I'm going to ask Ben to kneel, and Terry and I will lay our hands on him and pray over him. Almighty God, we do thank you for this day and for this opportunity of celebration in the life of the church, where we can ordain and install a new ruling elder in this congregation. We thank you for Ben. We pray for him, for his family, for his labors in this church. We ask that you would give him wisdom and grace. Help him in his own struggles. We ask that you would continue to go before him and the session of this church. We thank you for the love that you show to us, and we thank you for this day of celebration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I now declare that Ben Zuba has been regularly elected ordained and installed a ruling elder in this church agreeably to the word of God and according to the constitution of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and that he is entitled to all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which his office entitles him. So at this time, we give you the right hand of fellowship to labor in the work with us. Church order, it states that at this time the minister shall give to him and to the congregation an exhortation suited to the occasion. So that's why we did that before the message this morning as we move into that. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles, and you can remain seated today for the reading of the scriptures, to Acts chapter 20. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 35. Acts chapter 20, 17 through 35. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive." Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for your word today. As we gather here to hear your word proclaimed, I pray that your Spirit would make it clear to us and that only your word would be proclaimed. I pray again that you would be with me in my weaknesses in proclaiming that truth. Show your grace. May your people be edified. May you be glorified in the preaching of the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said earlier, today is an exciting day in the history of the church. In this local body, we have now taken the time to ordain and install a new ruling elder for Faith Bible Church. This has been a long process that began last summer. Ben was nominated to serve in this role, which you as a congregation elected him to last week. He began that process of training that covered a wide variety of things that you would expect, like the Confession of Faith and the Catechisms of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, our Book of Church Order, which talks about our form of government and church discipline and the Directory for Public Worship. There were times that looking at application, what it means to be an elder, scriptural studies of the qualifications, like in 1 Timothy 3 that I read today, questions about his life and his family, studies on the history of our denomination, theology exams. But becoming an elder is a process, and that process does not end today. Like I said, training involved a lot of different items, but training was not merely limited to academic study. A man is to be examined as to his character and knowledge and how he functions with his own family and a host of other things. And I'll be the first to admit once again that there are no perfect church officers. There are no men who look at the qualifications which are listed in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1 for elders and deacons and who do not get intimidated by that list or think in many ways that they simply don't measure up to those qualifications. Find me a man who arrogantly thinks that they have that list of qualifications figured out or mastered, and I'll show you a man who is not qualified to serve as an elder or a deacon in a church. So lots of training. And then a session certifies a man to say, we think that this person holds the qualifications necessary for this office, and then they put his name forward to a congregation to vote on, and then the congregation votes. Is this a man that I can submit to an authority in the church, a man who I feel would do a good job in this role? And then the hard work begins as a man is ordained and installed to serve in this role in a church. If you had witnessed today, now the hard work begins. In our book of church order, it states during this section, as I just mentioned, on electing, ordaining, and installing ruling elders, that after this a minister shall give to him and to the congregation an exhortation suited to the occasion. So that's where we're at this morning. I'm giving an exhortation, a message to both Ben and to the congregation as we look at this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 20. And as I said, now the hard work begins. Now the bar has been raised. And there's a lot of on-the-job training that takes place as well. I encourage you to pray for Ben in this new role. Pray for Terry and myself as well. Pray for the session of Faith Bible Church. Sessions don't always get everything right. We need wisdom. We have and we will make mistakes. And I appreciate the love of this congregation that they have shown to us. I titled the message today, Pay Careful Attention and Be Alert. Pay careful attention and be alert. Two of the commands, two of the verbs that is used by Paul here in this passage in Acts 20, as he meets with these Ephesian elders and he reminds them of truths that they should know, but also warns them of what to expect as well. Paul is headed down to Jerusalem, but before he goes there on his way, he sends for the elders from the church in Ephesus, and he asks these elders to come to him, come meet me. And Paul has a message to give to these men, a message of warning, yes, but also a message of encouragement as they take the duty of shepherding the flock of God seriously, or Paul desires for them to take this role very seriously. He speaks of his ministry in Ephesus while he was among them. Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus serving the people in that church. He taught them both in public and from house to house. We see by Paul's example that there is a need for both public and private teaching, private instruction. This applies not only to ministers as teaching elders, but to ruling elders as well. There are times that an elder may speak to the entire church. Elders need to be able to teach. We read that in 1 Timothy 3, 2. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. And then the list goes on. And those, again, are intimidating qualifications, as I mentioned, but able to teach. That doesn't mean that a ruling elder's primary function is teaching, but he must have sound doctrine and be able to teach God's truth to others. A lot of times that is done informally, simply knowing what the Bible teaches, knowing good doctrine, being able to correct error. Church officers take, as you witness today, some vows that, as they become officers in the church, that members do not take. Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith and the catechisms of this church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures? And do you approve of the government, discipline, and worship of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church? Receiving and adopting our confession of faith, our catechisms, means that we cannot have officers in the church who are not confessional. And as we look at our doctrinal standards, we look at those doctrinal standards not as a replacement for Scripture in any way, but we look at those as basics of Christianity or guardrails to make sure that we don't drift into false teaching, we don't drift into heresy. Elders are to protect the church, and as such, they need to be able to teach the truth. But elders can also teach in more formal ways as well. They can teach Sunday school or Bible studies. Ruling elders are also able to exhort the congregation by sharing a message of Scripture. You've seen Terry Boyle do that when I'm on vacation. So there's many ways that elders can teach. Paul says here that he taught both in public ways and in private ways. There is one way to care. This is one way, to care for the flock. Teaching. And what do we read here that Paul emphasized in his teaching in verse 21? We read, testifying both to Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. It should be our desire as believers in Christ to see more and more people repent of their sin and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that in Sunday school in Acts chapter 2 this morning. And repentance is not something that we do in our lives just once and it's over. I hope that all of us are constantly repenting of our sins, turning away from sin in our lives and turning toward God. And we do fail. We do sin. We do battle with the flesh. We struggle with ongoing sin in our life. You know that leaders in the church love you if they're willing to not let you continue on in sin. Good leaders do not downplay or ignore sin, nor should they be overly harsh, but to encourage repentance where necessary. May God give leaders wisdom in leading and governing and decision-making, always seeking the peace, purity, and the unity of the church. But Paul knows that hardships are coming his way as he travels on to Jerusalem. He knows that imprisonments and hardships await him, and yet he is compelled by God to press on. He also feels this may be the last time that he sees these particular men, these elders from Ephesus, face to face. He wants to give them a message in case he doesn't see them again. And notice that Paul here is not concerned about his own life. Paul just wants to finish the race of faith that God has set out for him. Paul simply wants to be faithful to the gospel and to the ministry that God has given to him. Paul's concerned about faithfulness. And this is another area that you need to pray for ordained officers in, faithfulness. Too many times we hear those stories of those men who started well but did not finish well. We all need accountability in our lives, and that includes leaders in the church. We all have a tendency to drift into sin if left on our own. We need the church. We need one another. We need friends who love us enough to keep us on that straight and narrow path. Churches need a plurality of elders, different personalities, different perspectives. I cannot tell you the vast difference that it has made in my own life as a minister of the gospel to have a session in my life for the past 6.5 years. In my first 20 years of ministry, I didn't know what it was like to have a functional session prior to coming into the OPC. I value the time and encouragement and help, and even the chastisement that I received from Stan Sutton and Jim Zazzaro and Bruce Fenton, who were the augmented session here when I first arrived in New Jersey. And then Pete LaRosa and the fellowship that we shared going to Presbyterian General Assembly together. And then Terry Boyle and Michael Letts over the last several years who have blessed my life in innumerable ways as a pastor. And now I look forward to serving with Ben Zuba in the times that he will need to both correct me and to encourage me. These men have shown great love for this congregation over the years, and we have been blessed in many ways that perhaps we are even unaware of. So in the first part of this passage of Scripture, we see Paul's heart for ministry and these men from Ephesus before he moves into the specific message for them and how he wants to encourage them in their work. In verse 27, Paul states, "For I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." I did not shrink back from declaring to you the full counsel of God. That's part of my role as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make sure that I am teaching all of Scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all 66 books, everything that God has given to us, everything He's blessed us with. And we all may have favorite portions of Scripture. Perhaps you really enjoy the Psalms or the Proverbs or the Gospels, but all of the Bible is important, and over time, it's my job to try and cover or teach you all of God's Word, not to skip over portions that may be challenging or difficult for us to look at, not to skip anything, so that systematically we go through all the books of the Bible and sermons, and there are times to speak topically as well. And we read from the Old Testament and the New Testament each week in our worship services to try to get more familiar with God's Word and what is in it. It's not just important that leaders know the Bible, but all of us as Christians need to study all of God's Word. Verse 28, Paul tells these elders, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. This is one of those key sections in this entire passage. I asked ruling elder candidates who were going through training a question that a ruling elder asked me in training many years ago. Are you willing to give your life for this congregation, for these people? Are you willing to give your life? And that's not a flippant question. That's not an arbitrary question. And it's not one just regarding physical safety either. That's important. I would think that any man would give up his life to protect others, especially those who are vulnerable. So that if there were ever a physical threat to this congregation, I know that men would rise to the occasion. But threats to the body of Christ are not just physical things. And I asked that question of both Ben and of Terry years earlier, who came, and those who came before them. Paul says here, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Careful attention. Notice that Paul speaks first to the elder. Ben, you need to look to your own life first. Pay careful attention to your own life. You cannot govern your household or the house of God without paying close attention to how you live first and foremost. Be aware of your particular areas of sin, areas that you struggle with. And expect that Terry and I have a role to play in helping keep you accountable for how you live. And men, never neglect the blessing that God has given to you in a godly wife. Your wife knows you, men, better than anyone else. Listen to her. God puts people in our lives and especially puts people closest to us to help mold us into the image of Christ. So men, do not neglect the blessing of your wife or a good friend to encourage you where you need to be encouraged and to help you be more aware of those things that perhaps no one else sees in your life. But we also notice here that Paul reminds these elders that the Holy Spirit has made them overseers over the flock of God. And I really love our Presbyterian process that I shared with you earlier in the selecting of elders. Everyone has a role to play. But through it all, we trust God working through His Spirit and placing men into positions of leadership. Ben, do not forget this solemn task in which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer of this congregation. That doesn't neglect any part of the process that we have gone through. But Ben, you answer first and foremost to God Almighty, and you are accountable to Him first and foremost. And one of the greatest parts of this verse and of this section of Scripture we need to remember is that the church of God was obtained, purchased, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for His bride. The church is precious to Jesus Christ, and especially Ben, Terry, and myself, we can never forget that. This is Christ's church. He redeemed it. We simply serve as under-shepherds of the great shepherd. And the entire congregation needs to see the value of the body of Christ. This is Christ's bride. Jesus Christ purchased her with His own blood. The church should be valuable to us.
We ought to make every effort that we can to be present at the stated worship services of this particular church and to seek to engage in fellowship and service with one another as we are able. We're called to serve one another and love one another with the love of Jesus Christ. That involves sacrifice. That involves giving of ourselves. The Bible knows nothing of Christians who are not connected to a covenant community of believers. Reach out to those in the body of Christ that you have not seen for a while. Tell them you miss them. Tell them you love them. Paul warns these elders here that first fierce wolves will come into the flock and not spirit. And not only will there be threats from outside of the body of Christ, but there will be those inside the church that rise up and, Paul says here, speak twisted things to draw disciples after them. Verse 31, therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Be alert. So not only pay careful attention, but be alert. Be alert. Be on guard. Wolves will come. False teaching will arise. It always happens. Be alert. Sometimes false teaching comes into a church maliciously. Other times it comes in with the very best of intentions. It is important for elders in the church to have a knowledge of church history and even our own denomination's history. We know that history seems to repeat itself. We tend to fall into the same old heresies and the same old lies over and over again, generation after generation. If we are familiar with the battles of doctrine that the church has already fought, it will help us to not fall into those same temptations ourselves. We need to be aware. We need to be alert for signs of sin. Great advice I received from another dear brother in the faith. He said, if you come up with a novel idea that the church has not thought of in 2,000 years, you're probably the one who's in error. We all need accountability in our lives. We all have that tendency to drift into sin if we're not careful, even with the best of intentions. I haven't mentioned it for a while, but as we started doing over a year ago now, live streams of our services, and we're thankful for the technology that we have, and some people are still unable to be here in person. We have to remember that watching a live stream of video is not a substitute for corporate worship. It's not the same thing. It's not a replacement. We rejoice that we have technology that we can use, that we can share with one another in this way. It has been a blessing to us that we've been able to do that. But we also have to remember it's not ideal. It's not corporate worship. 1 John 2, verses 18 through 25. John writes, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. In the first century, in John's day, in Paul's day, there were wolves. There were antichrists. There were those who were attempting to lead the church away from the doctrine of truth. And leaders, elders, need to be on guard, alert, paying attention to what is going on within and without. Ben, I know that you have already been alert in this congregation long before this day. Now the real work begins. Now you are tasked with the role of being on guard and being alert that only truth is proclaimed from this place. And that involves not only looking to those threats outside the body of Christ, but making sure that no false teaching arises from either the pulpit or the pew. Paul states that he has admonished others with tears. There will come times that you will shed tears over the body of Christ, lose sleep over the body of Christ. These are those people who are entrusted to your care, and it's your job to look out for them to the best of your ability. And Ben might be thinking now, what have I gotten myself into? In some ways, I hope that is the case. But I also think that you know that you went into this with your eyes wide open. You've been in the church for a long time, so the ups and downs of church life are not foreign to you. You know a lot of what to expect, and yet there will always be many surprises along the way. In some ways, you have been trained, yet are ready. In other ways, you will feel greatly humbled and inadequate for the task. Guard against complacency in your own life and in the life of the church. For it is in complacency that temptation for us all to drift away from God's word comes in. We're tempted when we're complacent. Before Paul speaks of his sacrifice in order to serve others in Ephesus, he commends these elders to their work in verse 32. He says, "And now I commend you to God and to the work of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Ben, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace as you begin your work here formally as a ruling elder. Cling to the word of God in all things. It's his word which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. May God continue to work in your life, in your family, and in this congregation, continuing to build you up in the work that is at hand. And Paul ends this passage of Scripture with a reminder of sacrifice, which does apply to all of us in the body of Christ. Paul speaks of working so as not to be a burden to those in Ephesus, and a reminder to help the weak. Work hard and help the weak. And we too need to look out for the weak among us, those who need special care. As we look at the body of Christ, we know that God has blessed us abundantly. May we take the effort that is needed to look out for one another, to serve one another, to encourage one another. For it is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. How much have you been blessed by God because of the body of Christ? How much have you been blessed by God because of the body of Christ? How has God blessed you in your own salvation? How has God blessed you in all things? May we all today count our blessings as we welcome a new ruling elder in our church. May we rejoice in how God works among us and continues to work. May God build his church for his glory. Will you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do give you thanks and we give you praise this day. Thank you for your work. Help us to apply these truths that we have looked at here in the book of Acts to our lives this day. Not only in Ben's life, but to all of us as well. May we be alert. May we be on guard for any temptations to sin, for anything that could creep into our lives and draw us away from you. Help us to stand firm in our faith. And even though we do so imperfectly, we thank you for your grace and the love that you have given to us. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name.